On this Tuesday, let's check out the weather forecast. We're now joined by Don Day. He's a day weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hey, Don, can you start by telling me a little bit about the fires out west? I know Cheyenne's not in a target area, but I think they were close by at one point, and then that cold weather we had must have done something for you. Maybe it was the snow, because we talked about that too. What happened?
Well, there were some Colorado fires burning pretty severely right ahead of that big cold front that came on in. There was a fire that went over 100,000 acres, but the cold front did wonders to really knock down fires, at least in the Intermountain West, any fires across Montana, Wyoming, or Colorado, and even down into New Mexico. While they're still burning in some areas, they've been greatly reduced. However, at the same time that rain and snow and cold weather hit the Rockies, it caused a lot of wind in the Pacific Northwest, and that was one big reason why those fires in Washington, Oregon, and Northern California really exploded. So while the Rockies were cold and wet, it was hot and windy in the Pacific Northwest. So now what we're hoping for is there is a trough coming into Washington, Oregon, and extreme Northern California over the next 4 days. That is going to produce some rain, cool things off a bit, and hopefully get those fires wet. And I think that's a good possibility.
How unusual is it for it to be as windy as it has been in that part of the world at this time of the year?
Well, certainly you don't expect late August, early September to be a windy time of year, but the strength of that cold front, you know, was extraordinary. There's not a doubt, no doubt about it. And that is one reason why there was so much wind with that front. And not only the wind did it fan fires, but there are blowdowns of trees all across parts of the West as that front came through.
And that front also brought some, I think it was that front, but you can correct me, also brought really cold temperatures to the northwestern part of the Corn Belt.
Absolutely. I mean, temperatures for early September that were record-breaking in many areas. Now, the release of that cold was so extensive, Todd, that it's got to build up again. So, you know, so we don't see any real significant cold over the next couple of weeks coming into the lower 48 states. Temperatures over the next week or two across the country, for the most part, are going to be close to average, even a little bit warmer than normal in many areas. And, of course, it's very tropical down the Gulf Coast with Sally.
Yeah, right. So let's stay in the Corn Belt for just a second. Over the next 2 weeks, dry, rainfall, periodic, what do you see?
Well, certainly through the weekend, only spotty shower activity for the Corn Belt. That's mainly going to be Iowa, Minnesota, and all less than a quarter of an inch. The better rain chances for the Corn Belt and Midwest are not going to happen until the middle to the end of next week, when we start to see a more active jet stream along the northern tier. So precipitation in the Corn Belt is going to be on the low side here for at least the next week to 10 days.
Now tell me a little bit more about Sally, please.
Well, Sally is going to bring a lot of rain to far western areas of the Florida Panhandle, and it really looks like Alabama is going to see as much as 10 to 20 inches of rain in the extreme southwest counties. Some of that getting into the southeast counties of Mississippi. We're going to see flooding across portions of Alabama. Then as Sally drifts northeastward and dissipates, heavy rains in northern Georgia, the Carolinas, eastern Tennessee. And we may see some of those rains get into, you know, maybe Kentucky, far southern and eastern areas of Ohio before it's all done.
This is a slow mover for a hurricane. What makes the difference between one that moves swiftly or in a normal pace and one that just sort of hangs around?
Hurricanes like to move to low pressure. They like to see a low somewhere nearby that they can go towards. So they're attracted by going to storms. So right now with the jet stream riding far north along the U.S.-Canadian border, there isn't a low pressure system nearby that it can go to. So what tends to happen is they just sort of meander around until there's something, some type of low pressure gradient that they want to move to. So that is really not going to happen until this weekend when that low comes across the Pacific Northwest. So to make Sally move, that system that's going to bring rain to Washington and Oregon has got to get further east.
What is it about the low that attracts the storm?
It's all about basically pressure gradients. So you will see a hurricane, it will want to move towards that change in pressure. Basically, it's like a track, because hurricanes cannot form if the winds aloft are really strong. They basically get ripped apart. So you want a column of air from the ground all the way up to 40,000 feet that's light and variable. And then what basically steers a hurricane are these just these subtle changes in pressure. It's kind of like if you put a magnet, two magnets on a table. You know, the closer you move one magnet to another, it'll just start attracting, and that's the best way to describe how it works.
Interesting. Thank you so much for the explanation. I appreciate it. You have a good week, too.
You too.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming.